There is a new threat facing Starfleet. Only one captain and his crew could turn the tide.
Hello, everybody.
I am Captain Kirk.
Star Wreck, 7.5.
Hey, Mr. Sulu, fire croutons!
Yes, sir.
Kirk's first voyage in command.
Check off. Is there a commodore around this galaxy?
Star Wreck, 7.5.
Heading, sir?
Full reverse right now! Go up! Go down! Anyway, everyone, I'm getting dizzy.
This isn't your father's Star Trek.
Or put some cartoons on the main viewer.
For sure.
Whatever.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Which way to the transporter?
Over there, in the media corner.
Oh, there's only a green chick over there.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, or welcome back to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for Monday, May 11th, 2009. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is still Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
After all these years.
We're still here. We're not quite dead.
Oh, my God. Welcome to Technorama.
We were looking for some of those younger actors, but... We're all you got. So
this isn't your father's Technorama.
Pucker up.
We have a special in-studio guest with us. We have Tom Strong, a local Appleton resident, who has brought along many, many very cool and authentic props. We're going to be showing these. If you're not joining us live on the webcam, well, we'll put some pictures or something on there, because this is cool stuff. And we wanted to talk a little bit about the Star Trek movie, obviously. Woo. It opened this weekend, which is one of the reasons why we chose this weekend to come out of retirement. But we're not even going to go into that whole we're not quite dead yet thing. Before we get too much further, though, we do have a couple of words from our sponsor. Go to my PC. If you haven't used it, this is a really cool way to get remote access to another machine, your PC preferably. You can use it to get a lot of times I find myself at home and I've got applications loaded on my work machine or data on our network, and go to my PC lets you get away with all this stuff without all the hoo-ha of VPNs and key fobs and setting up firewalls and port routing and all this crazy stuff. It's quick, it's simple. In fact, this week I was conferring with one of my colleagues and he said, "Oh, hold on, I'll pull up Go to my PC," and within seconds we were looking at his screen and he was navigating websites and showing us all kinds of cool stuff. It was just unbelievably simple. So yeah. If you want a free 30-day trial of Go to my PC, you can go to gotomypc.com/techpodcast and you can get a 30-day free trial. That's gotomypc.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial.
Now, and I do want to add in there that, you know, we use it as a corporate solution at work, so as a remote access. So, you know, they do those kind of things for people, you know, full company-wide.
Yeah, this isn't just a personal solution, by the way.
Yeah.
But it works well for that, too.
It does.
So, on with the show.
Yes, on with the show.
All right, Tom.
Gee, what a great baritone voice he's got.
Yes. Hello, I'm Barry White.
or Darth Vader.
Right. not that sexy, I guess.
Where are the rebel plans?
Wrong movie. We're here to talk about Star Trek tonight. Tom, what did you think of the movie? We should warn you, if we do have spoilers, we'll forewarn you with that. How's that? Is that a good enough warning?
I think so.
Okay. So, what'd you think?
I thought the movie was something that would satisfy the existing Star Trek fans. It's kind of a prequel to the existing Star Trek series and subsequent movies.
Yep.
And so they can take a little bit of liberty with what they do, and they do, but they still keep the flavor of the movies and the show. And I have to say, I was really reluctant to go to the movie. Then I heard some of the reviews, and I thought, well, maybe I should give it a second shot and go there with an open mind. And I did, and I thought that while J.J. Abrams was saying he wasn't a Star Trek fan per se, it's clear that the people that wrote it were indeed fans of some sort. Because just what they wrote in the movie and the flavor of the movie, you walk away from there thinking, you know, this is a character-driven movie. It's not just a special effects extravaganza.
Oh, absolutely. I apologize for the people listening live. This is the spoiler warning. We heard that on this end, but I forgot. I turned down the main mix. Yeah, welcome back to Technorama.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. It was a reboot, and they did change some of the what diehards would call canon. I'm not going to get into that too much, because I know that is spoilerific. And you're right. It did, from the trailers, you could have taken it as a number of ways. Is it just a special effects movie? Because I think too many movies try to do that, but yet can they get the story right to draw in a new generation of people? I mean, I kind of went in there at first. I was thinking, all right, where is there a major cliff in Iowa again?
Yeah, right.
you can see that from the trailer. The Corvette goes over the cliff, and I'm thinking,
that's a quarry.
Where
man.
Was it? Yeah, I got that once I saw the full scene, but they didn't really show it that well on the trailer. Like, okay, a quarry, I can believe. An abyss into nothing, you know. That in Iowa, I'd have a hard time believing, you know, this canyon out of nowhere. But, okay, I got that. Well, I had to suspend disbelief a little bit. You know, because there was a point where I went, that ain't gonna happen. You know, the whole premise of, I'm sure some people have heard, Leonard Nimoy makes a cameo appearance, and how he gets there is way, don't even approach Pamela Gay on Astronomy Cast on how that could happen, because it ain't gonna happen.
No.
Okay, that's all I'm gonna say.
I will say this. If you haven't seen the movie, or even if you have, go get the Countdown comics. There were four of them before the movie came out, and it's like a precursor to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you what really, I mean, they kind of allude to it in the movie, of course, you know, explaining what happens before, why Nero's going after the Federation and the planets, you know, and why Spock's here and that kind of thing. So I would recommend reading those comics. They were very good, and they you know, it won't take you long to read them, and you'll be like, wow, you know, really brings a little more insight to the whole movie itself.
Oh, he gave that in the backstory, didn't he? I mean, there was a scene he where did. He gave that.
But you, if you read the comics, it's a whole story in itself.
Now, where do you get those?
Yeah, where do you get those?
How about a comic book shop?
Oh, I mean online. They're not online?
Yes, actually, you can buy them on your iPod or iPhone or iPod Touch.
Oh, at the iTunes App Store or what?
Yes, absolutely. You can go just search for Countdown and you'll find them. They were
Was? I thought 99 cents for a Countdown timer. I thought it was going to go 2 days movie starts.
No. You can get all those episodes and watch them on the iPod Touch. And it's cool because you just kind of flip through them, you know, with the screen. And I liked it.
I was thinking I wasn't going to pay 99 cents for something that says 2 days, 4 hours, 13 seconds till the movie. I can tell something time. Like, no, okay. Yeah, the people in the chat room are laughing up a storm at this point. at my disbelief. Apparently, I didn't read the app description.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something else. If there's any good news that came out of the movie other than the reviews, it was that, Nokia is still around in the future.
Right. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Actually, I was like, you know what? When they show that scene and you're looking up at Kirk and he's driving, and he kind of looks down towards the floor, but the camera view is looking up, and I heard that, and I was like, who in the hell's got their phone on in this
movie? Yeah. I think everybody in the theater thought the same thing.
That's funny.
But, hey, I want to tell you my thoughts. I really enjoyed it. I went in after watching every clip and probably read way too much, and, of course, read the countdown. So when you read the countdown, you have an idea what's going to happen. But I watched all those clips and stuff, and I just got more excited about it because I thought this looked really cool.
Yep.
And I went in there knowing I knew that it was going to rock. At least I was just going to enjoy it. I'm the kind of person, I am a Star Trek geek. I'm also a Star Wars geek, but there's a little difference. This, I think, was done a little smarter than the Star Wars prequels, so to speak. You know, well, we won't get into that debate. But I went in knowing I was going to at least enjoy it. And I came away with it just blown away. I thought Zachary Quinto rocked. And Chris Pine, he wasn't doing Shatner, but there was a couple times when is he doing Shatner?
Oh, I know. It was so close. It was so close. Like right at the end where he comes on the bridge. Yeah.
When he comes back on the bridge at the end with the, you know, that was cool. But
Mr. Susan, laying a course. Like, oh, no, he didn't. He was close.
They probably had him do one take. Okay, just let's do a Shatner impersonation.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to see outtakes on the DVD.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, that would be funny.
So, I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was smart the way they did the time travel, even though they probably, you know, suspended belief, whatever. It's fiction, you know. And, you know, Delta Vega being that close to Vulcan.
The Vulcan, where you could see the incident in the sky.
I was reading something today. Somebody said, well, is Delta Vega a moon of Vulcan to be able to see it?
It would have to be, but... Yeah. Okay. Hey, Tom, what did you bring? What did you bring? We've got some cool stuff.
Well, we're looking at some of the original series Star Trek props, the phaser. I've got the prop for the hand phaser, which was an exact replica of the prop that was used on the show. How they made it, how they made it function. No electronics, just a basic replica of what they used on the show, prop-wise.
Here, you got to hold
this. This is the old
camera.
Black one, right?
This is the old black little handheld one that's about the size of a
little razor for your face.
The phaser razor. razor.
Yeah, that was like the insert to the full phaser gun.
Oh, we got one of those too.
Right.
And it even pops out. These suckers are heavy.
Well, that's a replica. That was something that was made by Master Replicas back in 2003. And it's got electronics and noises and everything in it. So it's not an exact replica of the prop that way.
I'm having way too much
set
fun.
Set your phaser to fun.
And it's amazing. I kind of... You know, had a thing about ray guns ever since I saw the show back in 1966 when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
And always had a thing for the phaser. So when they came out with that high-end collectible replica, I bought it. It was very expensive. It's something that I had to talk over with my wife before I bought it because it was that much.
Wow.
It was over the $50 to $75 discretionary spending.
So I've got that. I've got the communicator. I've got the tricorder, the medical scanner, the McCoy's little handheld medical scanner. But I've also got some Galaxy Quest items.
Oh, man.
Everybody remembers back in the late 90s, the Galaxy Quest movie that came out, which was just a lovely parody of the Star Trek
series. Oh, it's terrific.
Series.
You know what? That is just one of my favorite one-off movies. I swear.
Oh, definitely. and if you go out to... my blog, galaxyquestcollection.blogspot.com. You can see the little, they did like a spoof of a spoof because Galaxy Quest is a spoof.
Wait, do that again. Say the URL.
It's galaxyquestcollection.blogspot.com.
Thank you. I forgot I had to get the bell in there.
And on that site, you'll see some of the they did like a mockumentary of the show. So it was like a spoof of a spoof. So now I expect all the matter in the universe to collide in on itself because we've had a spoof of a spoof. But it has like a mockumentary of what these people are like 20 years after the show, the has-beens that they are. And they talk about what happened on the series. And... now, this week, Galaxy Quest special edition is coming out on DVD.
Is it?
On
good timing.
May 12th at your local stores. Yes. And the first release of Galaxy Quest did not have the extras. And this, it had some extras, but this edition will have that mockumentary and some other behind-the-scenes interviews, which I'm sure won't be spoofs. So,
that's cool. I'm going to have to get that. I've got the first one, and I always thought it was kind of lackluster. It was like, you know, it's just the movie, and there's not much. There's a few deleted scenes, I think, and that's about it.
So, Tom, where's this butter knife from?
Yeah, the butter knife.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Wow.
Yeah. If you remember in the end of the movie,
I think Rambo had that one, didn't he?
The Tony Shalhoub character is actually the bad guy, Saris. And when he's holding, a knife at some point in the movie, I'm blanking on exactly when. And ultimately then he attacks and shoots Tim Allen's character with the Thermion nebulizer. Do you want to hand that to me? That one.
Oh, the big heavy aluminum cast.
Right, right. The hood ornament.
Yeah, it looks like a Buick hood ornament.
Yeah.
Let me see it. Hold that up. Oh, yeah.
So I've got some of those things here, and we can go through, you know, a little bit of the history. A nice little story is when Tim Allen came on to the Galaxy Quest movie and had a meeting with the producers, he was looking at what they had for the existing ray gun, and he said, you know, it'd be great if I had my own. The captain should have his own. And that's when they actually came out with the silver one that they used as the new one, the Thermion nebulizer. And they used the one that they were going to use for the whole movie as kind of like the TV series one. So you see that with the fans at the convention. And then in the movie, when they're with the Thermians, you see the shiny aluminum hood ornament version.
That's cool. Hey, by the way, you were talking about the spoof of a spoof. Do you remember when the movie was coming out, they had a website up where this guy was talking about his love for the TV show, and he made it sound like it was like a Star Trek type site where he was talking about all the episodes and
one of the early forms of viral marketing.
Yeah, I remember reading that, going, "What is he talking about?" Because it seemed kind of convincing, considering some of the Star Trek sites I've been to.
Absolutely, I went to that site and I thought at first it might have been legitimate, and then I thought, "Oh, it's a bit too contrived in certain ways," and you know. But it looked like they made it look like a Web 1.0 kind of experience. It wasn't exactly a refined site. Yep. So kind of like, you know, the J.J. Abrams approach to things, you know, throwing red herrings out there and stuff and getting people interested in it.
Yeah. It's funny to look at. It's like you threw some graphics up and there's some old pictures. And yeah, it was pretty cool.
There's quite a backstory that they built up to that. And you'll see that in the special edition Galaxy Quest DVD released on May 12th.
Wait.
What kind of financial gain are you getting?
Can we get
this?
Another advertiser in here?
Yeah.
Here's one of my favorites. This is.
That's cool.
Kirk 2 Enterprise.
Oh, hey. Do you see at the beginning the.
Scotty, you're breaking up. Beam us up.
Kirk's mom had the old school. Communicator.
Who did?
Kirk's mom.
You mean like William Shatner's mom?
No. Man, not that. No. Kirk in the movie.
Oh, yes. The movie communicator that they showed her talking to.
His mom.
Yeah, she was on it talking to George. And
Yeah. In the shuttle.
Chuck, what?
Right.
I'm...
Yeah, they're selling those toys of that. And it loosely resembles the, you know, series communicator.
Oh, and Tom brought me a gift.
What?
A Star Trek phaser from the movie.
From the new one?
The new movie where it flips around from like stun to kill, blue to red. I assume red is dead.
So he can have fun torturing his cat.
There's also the communicator. Here, Kirk and Spock. The Starfleet tricorder panel flips open, sequencing lights, authentic movie sounds, and the Oh, wait, it's two modes on the Starfleet phaser. Mode one, with the red LED facing out, is vaporize mode, and then blue is stun mode.
You know, so, yeah. I could use the vaporize mode sometimes.
Can you use it to heat up a cup of coffee?
Right.
Yeah, no.
So vaporize. I was right. Red is dead.
That would be cappuccino mode.
No, that's what I do to the coffee in the morning. I vaporize it.
Now, for improved value, I can't remove it from the box, but you can reach through and push the button with your finger. And my favorite, see if you can recognize the sound.
He's dead, Jim.
Jim, there's no intelligent life down here.
And there's really nothing to read on the backside, so when DeForest Kelly was looking at the back of this old medical tricorder doodad that he held in his hand, he was just kind of looking at a steel plate, you know, like there was something to look at.
Hey, speaking of DeForest Kelly, I want to say that Keith Urban nailed that character.
He did a good job. He had that same crotchety, I died laughing when he said, I kind of like him. You know, when they were all kind of meeting up, Spock and Kirk and McCoy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I kind of like him. Like, what? Yeah. What planet were you from?
He always liked him. He liked pulling his chain
As the movie went on, they kind of got into it. Like, are you out of your Vulcan mind? Is some of the lines they use. They're getting back to your point about the writers are fans. They knew what to put in there.
Yes.
And one spoiler from my daughter. Okay, in the shuttle scene where Pike is heading over to the other ship, you know, the Romulan ship, and Sulu and Kirk and Olson are sitting there. What color uniform was Olson wearing?
Oh, yeah. It was the red shirt.
Julie points that out. She goes, he's wearing a red uniform. Watch. And like 30 seconds later, he's dead.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard.
You know, what was I going to bring up? I was going to bring up one more thing from the show. Oh, hit the spoiler alert thing again.
All right, hold on. I got to put my beer down. There.
Okay. All right. One of my favorite things, geek-wise, watching that, is when Kirk was in Spock's face, and they were going back and forth.
Oh, yeah, to try and antagonize him.
I was having a moment there. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is awesome. And then later on, they were talking close quarters. You know, this is later on in the movie when they were on a little better terms, you know, towards the end, and they were conversing. It's just when they had their one-on-ones, man, they were awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It almost echoed the dog face boy scene of the original series.
Yeah.
Right next to the dog face boy.
That was good music, though. Good music, good special effects. Good
Dynamite
story.
Special effects.
It'd be interesting to see what they follow up with.
Harrison wants to go see it bad.
I didn't really care for the whole Uhura Spock thing in this movie, but I'm sure that'll come to haunt us later.
Well, actually, I think it kind of worked because you got Spock's, you know, kind of battling his own duality. And part of that, he says his dad had married an earthling, or a human rather, and you know, so he's kind of in the same boat and he's kind of dealing with that. I'm sure we'll see a little bit more in that in the future. I bought it,
and it was funny to see Kirk making it out with a green woman in the beginning.
Yeah. Hey, my wife saw an interview with Chris Pine and he was talking about that, and he said there wasn't anything fun about that because when they did the scene several times and the green stuff would sometimes it would get on him.
Well, know, then he's really into it.
That's not convincing.
No, like his nose touched her or something, or he said they had to keep scrubbing his face, and it got to the point where the green would almost start to stain, you know, the green makeup, the oily green stuff, would start to stain, so they had to scrub him really hard, and of course, she had to wash down. She was green from head to toe, so enjoy it. I'm sure we won't see a whole lot of green chicks.
So when the husband comes home after the convention, honey, what's all this green stuff on your outfit?
Is this green? His wife.
Sheets are all green. What's this?
What else have we got? We've got
the tricorder.
Hold that up to the camera there, Tom.
That's heavy. Again, another Master Replicas.
Hey, I'm Master sorry. Replicas, I thought that was a tape recorder sitting on your desk there, Chuck.
It's about the size of a tape recorder.
That's cool.
And it says Cestus 3 on there. Isn't that the planet that he fought the Gorn on?
Starbase Cestus 3. I do not know that.
Someone in the chat room want to look that up for us real quick? Where is Cestus 3 mentioned in the original series? Yeah, there's like a little graphic on there that lights up and stuff. Gotta wake the camera up again. There.
Let's go to Memory Alpha.
Go to Memory Alpha. Check out Mr. Atos's library.
How do you spell the Cestus?
You haven't. Cestus. You haven't been prepared.
Cestus. Let's see. Ooh. Is it not in there? Cestus.
Cestus 3?
It's been destroyed.
You said Cestus, right?
Cestus.
Oh.
Wasn't he the deputy on Gunsmoke?
Festus. No, I think he was in Adam's Family.
Actually, Festus. I found out because Radio Yesterday did Gunsmoke in March. On the radio, you know, it was William Conrad who did Marshall Dillon. This is way off Star Trek lore, but yeah, and he didn't have quite the face for television, as you might imagine.
No.
And the character they changed on TV, it was Festus, but in the radio show, his name was Chester. Now, I'm wondering why they would have changed that, but just one of those bits of trivia.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Dillon?
Yay, I win! NCAP says NCAP. It's where the Gorn was fought.
Yeah.
Ah, you were correct.
We are the Metrons, maker of cheap automobiles.
Yeah.
And we dress like ancient Romans.
So what else you got there, Tony?
Tom.
Tony. Well, we've got...
Tony. Well, I wish I could meet you in person. I didn't remember your name.
Yeah, what is this thing? It looks like a landmine.
I've also got, we were talking about Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
And I've got the Vox, which is their communicator.
And it's got kind of this little Borg light-up graphic on the inside.
That's cool. That's really cool.
This one is not an actual screen-use prop. This is a replica. When I bought the screen-use props, the ray guns from Galaxy Quest and the Saris knife and some miscellaneous other things, I also got some unfinished parts. And so I actually I commissioned somebody to cast and make a replica, and I was in contact with the prop maker for the movie, so I did make sure that everything was right. The only thing we changed was that we did a little bit of the fancy LED light-up stuff.
That's pretty cool.
But there's two versions of communicators for the show. There's the fan version or the TV series one where it didn't really work. Maybe I should correct that. There's actually three. There's the fan version that doesn't light up. There's the one that lights up that I have, which has like a lightning graphic in it. And then there's one where you see the transporter room sequence with Tim Allen. And when he transports and they hand him the Vox, he opens it up and he looks at it and goes, oh, this looks real. And there's a lightning, kind of a plasma arcing thing inside there. And I got the original... custom-made plasma discs and actually put it inside the one that I had that was unfinished, and it fits in there perfectly, and hooked it up to a power source because I talked to the people that the company that made it for the production to find out how to power it, what was the right voltage, and tried that out. So there's actually one for the special effects scene where they've got the back off and they've got this plasma disc in there, and that's what Tim Allen looks like he's holding, and he says, oh, looks real. Well, obviously it is.
Cool. Yeah.
Tom's hardcore. He goes to the source.
Right.
You know what? Who did you call to get the specs and stuff from that?
Well, I actually, after I got the props, from a private collector. I got in touch with a person that worked on the production. His name is Bill Cobb.
Great. Want another one, Tom?
Sure, okay. Why not?
Let me give you the church key, too.
And I talked to him at great length about the props and found out about the backstory, some things like the nebulizer, how Tim Allen really didn't want to have the one that looked like everybody else's. So they came out with that shinier aluminum one, and it's actually aluminum. The one that is used for the TV series, that's made out of like a cast resin, which is like a plastic, and painted in a kind of a two-tone fashion. And if someone looked at the movie in a cursory way, they wouldn't notice that there's actually two different
Yeah, they're the same basic shape. One's got blue highlights right. on it, though.
Right. There's a knob on the back the TV series one. Mine's actually missing because in the course of production, it kind of broke off on that one. But on the top of the one that Thermians used, it's got a light-up fin, and that's what you see in most of the movie when Tim Allen is on the run and shooting back at the bad guys. But that one that Tim Allen used most of the time was made out of like a heavy aluminum. If Chuck picks it up, he'll go, oh, that's quite hefty.
It is quite hefty.
It feels like you're holding like kind of like a gun.
Oh, and that's just what he needs.
Right. Yeah.
Remove the weapons from Chuck.
Unbeknownst to the people who are not watching the webcam, Tom is wearing a red shirt, so therefore I have to dispatch him.
Well, and my screen name on the web for a lot of these Star Trek forums is Red Shirt.
Nice.
Because I figured nice, he's nice. The guy that had all the fun.
At least for about 12 seconds.
Right. Now, Tom, what do you do with your props? You sound like you got a great collection there. Do you show them places, or do you trade, sell, and that kind of thing, or what?
Well, typically the people that collect these, they collect them because they like them. Mm-hmm. And usually when they're part of like a group like a Star Trek forum or whatever they're collecting, they'll post a picture up on the site and say to people, hey, look what I've got. More than not, people are a little bit coy about it because they really don't want other people to know that they have them. They're actually quite valuable. That aluminum Thermian nebulizer that I have actually would fetch on eBay or through an auction house called Profiles in History, that would fetch about anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000. Now, I didn't pay that for it because sure. I bought it from like a first position collector.
Are you doing this as like an investment thing, or are you just going to hang on?
I could. Actually, I've bought and sold some props and made triple what I paid for them. It's kind of like if you know a market, it could be any kind mm-hmm. of collection market.
Coins, stamps.
Yeah, if you know what's hot and what's going to move, sure. you know yeah. what people are going to buy, you'll pick it up.
I would have a hard time parting with some of this stuff, though. It's just too cool.
It is. I mean, some of the stuff I've bought and sold was basically for just that same thing, investment to buy some other props. Mm-hmm. So right now, if you really want to get geeked out, I've got someone making me an original series Star Trek communicator that is going to be canoned to the original series prop. And in the original series prop, they had a stopwatch powering this little moray pattern. And that stopwatch is small, it's tiny, and they didn't make that size after the 60s. So I actually was bidding on eBay against other people that knew which watches were this vintage watch. And I'm sure the people selling these vintage watches, which mostly got like about $10 for these watches, you know, no one really wanted an old stopwatch. Yep. Maybe a pocket watch that could tell time or something, but an old stopwatch, it didn't sell. Well, suddenly this year they're getting anywhere from $50 to $100 for these old watches, and I'm sure they're scratching their head thinking, wow, why did that change?
Why is it so valuable? Somebody figured out what it was really used for.
Right.
Well, you know... And you know what? In the same vein, we're talking about Star Trek tonight, but the Star Wars, you know, the lightsaber that Luke had. If you want to make it and make it look just like it was in the movie, they used one of the old Graflex flash units. And if you go to eBay, you know that everybody's figured it out now, and they're
oh yes. Craig, you are a geek because you know that.
Yeah, well, hey, I am a geek because I'm actually holding one that I made myself.
Wow.
No, I did not use the Graflex, though. I did make one with alternative parts, but it looks pretty good.
Well, there's a couple of boards out there that are public boards that I go to. One is Replica Prop Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Dewback Wing is another one, dewbackwing.com. And the one I'm a part of is TrekPropZone.com, which is basically a semi-private forum, which means they'll have some things on there for the public, and then there'll be other parts of it that are private. And you get invited. One, you get in the prop community, and you know some people, you get invited to these boards, and that's where the true action happens. That's where some of the really deep, you know, hardcore dealing goes on. The people that will, you'll be able to get something that is identical to the prop. Somebody will fashion this out of parts, and you'll buy parts from this person making the nozzle for the phaser. This person's got the 10-turn dial from the actual scientific equipment.
Wow.
So if you look at the original series Star Trek phaser, when it's in the hand phaser is in the bigger, you know, grip one, so you got the full one,
mm-hmm.
there's like a mm-hmm. dial on the back, and that dial came off an oscilloscope. And they basically just cut down the knob on the oscilloscope because the knob is very tall.
That's
and
funny.
I've got one. Actually, I've got another box here, Chuck, but I've got another one that has actual parts from the 60s that matches that. But that one's the replica from Master Replicas is very accurate.
He's brought in boxes of stuff, Craig.
Wow.
We haven't even gone through it all. There's what, nine props on the desk, not counting my Bocano bottle opener.
Hey, break out your camera and take a picture of some.
Oh yeah, we're gonna picture up some of this stuff.
Here, I'll hold this up for them.
The while you're doing that, the chat room has asked for a shout out. We've got Archangel DS9, Ben Vaughn, Claudio M, Cupcake Wharf.
Sweet. I'm sorry, I'm reacting to it.
Dan Man, Dead Drup, NCAF1, Geek Cred, Logical Forecast, Lieutenant Commander Gadgets, Marv Cutis, Philip of Borg, Redshirt Tim, Root Beer of Borg, and Zahadum of Kwonos.
Zahadum of Kwonos.
And apparently Redshirt Tim just died because he chatted in the room.
Oh, I thought I was going to say, has quit. Fell off the chat room.
I don't even think they get a chance to yell before they're dead.
No, usually, Captain, there's something.
The world needs Star Trek to give people hope for the future.
What's that Spock one? Where he said, where Fry says something, he says, oh, dip indeed.
Oh, dip.
Dip indeed.
You mean that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, there was one time when Zachary Quinto said, fascinating. And I was
when the chair was spinning around. That was good. Very subtle stuff like that in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much.
A lot of fun.
So Tom, tell us, what was the most difficult prop you got to get a hold of?
Well, the Galaxy Quest props, the Thermion Nebulizer, the one that you see Tim Allen and some of the other people use on screen, the one I have is a screen-used prop, and they made parts for 20 of them, and 10 they assembled, and they probably use a number of these on set and keep the rest in reserve just in case they need it.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't seen anything out there on the Galaxy Quest props except some pictures on this one site called Questarian. I think it's Questarian.com.
Mm-hmm.
And no pictures of the Thermion Nebulizer. And I was curious to see, you know, if that prop was gettable. And through some of my connections, I eventually got to a person that had them. It was kind of happenstance where the person I was talking to didn't know this person had it, but it was kind of a friend of a friend of a friend, and then I end up talking to someone that had it. And when you find a contact like that, it's pretty much a closely guarded secret because this person probably has a bigger collection, and you're trading and moving things back and forth. But that was probably the hardest thing I got. Getting screen-used props can be expensive. And mm-hmm. it can be difficult because people don't want to leave or give up that prop.
Right, right.
There's only so many of them. Now, granted, Galaxy Quest isn't maybe as favorite as some movies out there.
Yeah.
But it had its following. But as a fan of Star Trek, I really enjoyed Galaxy Quest, and I like ray guns. And I kind of mm-hmm. like that one. And I think if people like the retro look, I think they'll like the phaser in the new movie too, because it's got kind of
it's the same look. It's got kind of that same look, doesn't it?
Well, it's not quite the same as the Galaxy Quest. It's not quite that retro, but it's got kind of this, you know, simpler style to it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. Oh, hit the klaxon there, Chuck.
One klaxon coming up.
There you go. Well, that's awesome. I saw it go off. I heard it go off before I saw your hand get there.
That's the time travel.
Yeah. What was I gonna? Oh, the Enterprise I thought was fantastic because I liked how down below it was all industrial. It looked like a battleship with pipes and little metal stairways. And then you get on the bridge and it had that 60s future retro kind of look. You know,
almost like you were walking into the Apple store.
Yeah, it yeah. was a little yeah. too postmodern, you know, kind of. The bridge was a little too clean and high tech considering where the original series was. And not to be critical, but I thought engineering was a little too spacious. It seemed to go on with pipes and you know, that brewery look forever.
Brewery.
Or refinery, or whatever you want to call it.
Scotty, where are you at? I'm in the microbrew, Captain.
And there was one scene in the movie, I won't say when, but they were at an ice planet, and they're closing the door, and it looked like the door you'd see in a normal building.
Yep.
Because it had that kind of metal beam across the middle. And I thought, boy, that's a bit too dated for that movie. It should have been a little bit more updated. But I was willing to suspend some disbelief.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the name of that little dude who was working with Scotty on the ice planet?
Oh, yeah.
Was that not the same actor who did the Oompa Loompas in the Johnny Depp version of Willy Wonka? That's
an IMDb question.
And the other character I recognized was the Vulcan Council guy who was telling when Spock came before the council and he said, "I want."
Oh, you know who that was, right?
That was the guy from Rua Repente, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the warden. Yep.
Yep. Ah, I spot him all the time.
Yeah. And
Paramount reuses so many actors, it's not even funny.
You know, actually, he died recently after doing that scene.
He did?
Yeah, he passed away. If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, we were reading the credits. We were reading the credits because, you know, movies these days, you got to stay till the very end. They had, like, Vulcan student, Vulcan bully. And then we're going a little further down, and they had first assistant, second assistant, second assistant. I'm like, what the heck is a second assistant?
Assistant to assistant, assistant.
Lackey, bring me my latte. Lackey's lackey, bring me the lackey the latte.
Yeah. Now, Tom, I'm going to ask you, conversely to what I asked a minute ago, what prop kind of fell into your hands?
That would be the same prop.
What?
Because it was kind of happenstance that I got to it. While it was a hard thing to get, I've been looking for it. It was a bit ironic in that I had been combing the web and the different prop forums talking to people for months. And then I just happened to make a few connections with other people and brought it up that I was looking for something. And lo and behold, then it's there. And the guy said, hey, you know, it's up for grabs. And I'm like, great. I had to think all about 2 seconds about that.
Yeah, let me see. Okay.
It wasn't, I mean, it's not the kind of purchase where you go, gee, it's the kind of purchase where you're thinking, how am I going to explain this to my wife that I just dropped this amount on something? Yeah, I can tell her it's worth this much and I can always sell it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you don't mind me asking, what was the most expensive one you got?
The one I was just talking about. See, most of the props I have are replicas.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that I have, I've just got the Galaxy Quest props. I really haven't moved outside of that. I've kind of cooled on prop collecting because it is kind of expensive. And I did sell some things kind of to buy some other things. But that thermonebulizer, you know, it wasn't something that you just, you know, say, hey, I'm going to buy it. I was sweating a little bit after I, you know, said I'd buy it. I knew buying it that I could sell it for at least three times what I purchased for it.
Wow.
So I'm not too worried that way. There is a really crazy, loyal group of people that want to spend big money on something that was used in a movie. And I went the extra step, which keeps the value of the item up. I had a signature from one of the people that worked on the movie, one of the prop makers, and identified the things that were there and inspected things and signed a certificate of authenticity for me.
That's cool.
And they're numbered. I have with a holographic sticker. So if I post it on eBay to sell this and someone sees that, they can't replicate it because they wouldn't have the holographic sticker. They could, sure, you know, look at the picture. So I built in some things like that for just to keep the, you know, someone from ripping it off.
Yeah.
But so there's really nobody out there that's got an identical replica. There's some people that had some of the stunt, the background stunt nebulizers, mm-hmm, and mostly the ones that they have. There's some telltale flaws on that because they were cast in like a rubber foam so that they could be thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what to look for, and when people see other kits out there that are made, there's one that's done by sidkit.com that's somewhat accurate. I can tell what it is just because I'm so into that particular prop.
Sure.
And in the it just gets really anal in some ways when these prop collectors look at these things. They say, oh, this was like this because this is how they made it, this is how they cast it. People really get into it. Like, for instance, the communicator from the original series,
mm-hmm,
was probably designed by Matt Jeffries, who was the art director for the original TV show.
Yep.
And Wachang was the prop house that did some of the studio props, not all of them. The phaser was actually done in-house at Desilu at their prop-making department, but the communicator was done outside. And just to let you know, there's a lot of found parts on that. There's like racing car HO wheels. I think the HO is the brand. That if you look at where the buttons are, where they're pressing them next to this like radio,
like screen, a microphone almost. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Those buttons are like the wheel hubs without
they
the wheels.
They are. You ever have like a slotted racetrack, Craig?
Yeah, of course.
If you take the rubber wheels off of the cars, that's what those knobs are.
Right.
Oh.
They're the hubs.
And on here where you see my replica has a like a lit up jewel, but those hubs were turned upside down and there were holes drilled, and then they put Swarovski crystals or Swarovski jewels. I don't know if I can spell Swarovski.
We were not going to have that one in the show notes.
Yeah.
But those were put on there. And so there were some found items that were made with the original communicator and some found items that made their way into the phaser. So it wasn't all from scratch. And, you know, once you get to know this stuff, you get to know what is legitimate. And the surprising thing is on eBay, you will see somebody selling it, and they'll say, this is from the original TV show, and they have it listed for like about $5,000-$8,000.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are on the Trek forum, the forum that I'm on,
mm-hmm,
will look at this and they'll go, oh, it's a Mark English. That's not an original to the show because of this, this, and this. And
oh, wow.
I don't know if they have a shill bidding on that, but then all of a sudden it gets bought for like $15,000, $10,000. And that's not to say that maybe somebody didn't buy it for that, because there are some people on the board I'm on that had in the past bought some of these replicas unknowingly before they were educated, and they're very angry about it.
So there is some fraud going on out there.
Oh,
some.
Yes. I would think Even you would find fraud even in some of the Christie's auctions.
But
because
you're not going to get away with it for very long, though. I mean, you're going to be called out.
Well, there's in this day and age of the internet, there's so many people out there that are so fine-tuned in these niche boards that there are experts out there. They may not be an expert at Christie's or a Mike Okuda that helped Christie's with their auction for the Star Trek items.
Yep.
But there are people out there that know that, and they will alert people to it. So I don't know if you remember at the Christie's auction, they sold, I think it was the visor for Data when he was playing cards. Or no, it was the cardboard, I think, itself. The table. And somehow there were two made of something. I'm not sure which it was, if it was Data's visor, if it was the board they're playing at. But it was that scene where they were playing poker in one show. And the one that the person won at the Christie's auction was purported to be from the filming show. Now, this is how thin people cut it. Mm-hmm. The one that the person actually bought was not the one that was used in the show. It was the backup. And they found out that it was the backup, and they were very angry. And they have a lawsuit going with Christie saying, I want my money back, or I want some restitution.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's how... But see, that does make a difference, because if they can't say this was screen used, the value on it goes down immensely.
Sure.
No difference between the two, except that it was on screen. So it does get a bit ridiculous, but that's the way it is.
That's amazing.
Question from the chat room. Are there any props that you got that you wound up looking at and going, looks better on screen than it did in a real person?
Like, well, buyer's remorse?
If you... Yeah, you know, I kind of went through that even before I bought my first real screen use prop. Most of the stuff that you see on TV and on screen, in person, it usually looks just horrid.
Yeah.
It looks like it's cobbled together. You know, it looks like some, you know, kid did it in their back garage.
I think we saw some of that at the Star Trek experience, didn't we, Craig? It's like, yeah, you've got to be kidding. Is that all it is?
Yeah.
But in all fairness, the props that I got from Galaxy Quest actually look as good up close as they did on screen.
Yeah, I
got
to admit.
And the props from the original Star Trek series, actually, they put a great deal of care into it. And I mentioned to Chuck earlier, there's kind of like three levels of props in the Star Trek original TV show. There's the hero prop, and that's a prop that lights up. It isn't a prop that's got sounds and noise, because they add that in post.
Mm-hmm, right.
But the hero prop is the one that lights up or moves or has something going on with it. And they tend to keep those very well guarded. They don't like to have them throw them around. If they're having a fisticuffs, they're not going to be using those. They're going to use a background prop, or what they called in Star Trek was the mid-grade prop. So there were three different phasers. If they were shooting somebody in the background, they gave them what was like a plastic vacuum-formed phaser prop. From a distance, it looked every bit as good. And then if they were in a medium close-up or they were a secondary character, they gave them a mid-grade phaser. And that one didn't have all the details on the phaser that Nimoy or Shatner carried. And then there was the ones that they showed in the very tight close-up. Sometimes you'd have some tight close-ups with the mid-grade props. Now, I think some people would say, wow, well, that sounds like they spent a lot of money on this to have three different levels of props, but they did that out of budget. They could only afford...
It costs more to make
the
more detailed ones when you really didn't need them.
Yeah. But they still do that on movies, too. They only make so many of the good ones. I'm sure they got a much better budget than they did on the Star Trek show. They did a great job of putting whatever budget they did on screen.
How much does the Omega 13 prop go for?
The Omega 13?
I think the Omega 13 was destroyed when they used it. It only lasted like 20 seconds. The chat room's having a lot of fun with this.
Believe me, if we could find a real Omega 13 prop, it would be priceless.
The Omega 13 is actually in all of us.
Who wouldn't want to go back 13 seconds to correct a mistake?
Wasn't that what you get out of eating tomatoes or something, Omega 13?
Actually, that's Omega 3.
Oh, it's not quite as good?
That's the fatty acids that help you out. See, it's in all of us.
It's in all of us. Tom, it has been a real treat. We need to wrap this up. I know we promised the listener to keep it to about 30 minutes in the version 2.0 of this show, if you want to call it that. We've run long, but this was a special occasion. We've had Tom Strong as our in-studio guest. Thank you very much.
Thank you for for having me on your show.
And we will get some of the pictures of these props up on the website. You've got to see these, assuming I can.
I want the holograms, actually.
The holograms?
I want the 3D representation.
We'll take back pictures of the bottle caps and the bottle opener. No, that's not what we're after. We want the tricorder stuff.
Before you go real quick, I have a couple of links in the link library I want to just throw out there real quick. One of them was the Star Trek Experience, the Enterprise. Now, I know Star Trek Experience has been used a lot. Star Trek Experience, the Enterprise is a website where they have an augmented reality. You print out the picture, and if you hold it up to your webcam and you visit the site, of course, it looks like you're holding the Enterprise in your hand. You can move it and all kinds of stuff. And I actually pulled up the image on my iPod Touch and just held it up to the camera, and poof, you see the Enterprise on top of it, and you move it, and it moves around.
Really?
Yeah, it took a minute to get everything going, but it was pretty cool. And, of course, again, I want to mention, is it William? I can't remember his name now. The Star Trek My Experience that it was on, it's on blip.tv.
Vernon Wilmer.
Yes, thank you. Vernon William Wilmer has an awesome, awesome, awesome video up there. And so far, he's got two parts. I think there's a third or
has he
so.
Got two up there now? Yes. April said he was coming out with the second part soon. The first one was Home.
Part one and two. Part one talks about it basically takes you through the Star Trek experience. Part two is more interviews and stories about the place. So, and it shows April, you can see some of her trying out when they did the tryouts and stuff.
Oh, cool.
It's very cool. So, yeah, check that out.
And for what it's worth, I did watch Wrath of Khan in the movie theater because I held up my iPod Touch. And I held it about 6 inches from my face, so it was just like being there.
That's fun. Actually, I got to the movie theater early, and I was watching The Onion. They were doing a spoof on Star Trek fans report the new movie as fun and watchable.
We were at our theater. Did you go to the Hollywood Cinema, Tom?
Right. No, actually, yes.
And they were playing like Star Trek theme music and background music. And oddly enough, I had one of the musicals stuck in my head over the week. I don't know why, but maybe it was just in anticipation. And they had Leonard Nimoy singing some god-awful song. It wasn't Bilbo Baggins, but they were playing this music while they're showing, you know, rent this venue for your next business meeting and visit the concession counter. And then Leonard Nimoy comes on singing. I went, oh my God. And the lady about two rows behind us goes, my brother's got this album. And I threw up my hands and went, you win.
He's still living in my mother's basement.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd admit that even if somebody else owned it.
That was just scary beyond belief.
That's funny.
All right, we appreciate your support in the chat room, on the webcam, all kinds of stuff. If you want, call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Or email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. Visit the website, www.checkchat.com, for all the other good stuff, like the pictures we're going to post, or donation in the tip jar, or visit iTunes and give us a review. Those are most helpful because they boost our rankings and more people notice us and join the party and have a lot of good fun with that. We've had just a blast today. Special thanks to Madmar for providing all the great content, even while we were radio silent, shall we call it, for a while.
I was still putting stuff up. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, and Ustream for the video content. Freenode.net for the chat room. Yes, it's still there. irc.freenode.net. The room name, channel name is Pound Technorama, as if you couldn't have guessed that one from just good old-fashioned hacking. This show is
we like the KISS method here.
Yeah. It either starts with chuckchat.com or Technorama. You figure it out.
Yeah.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media at farpointmedia.net. And I am so out of practice, I did not even start the music. There we go.
Why'd you do it now? I could have just done it in post.
Yeah, well, whatever. We're getting better, aren't we?
Yeah.
Little rusty. The mixer is held together by chicken wire and baling twine. And Tom, once again, thanks for stopping by. It has been a real treat.
Thank
you, Tom. Lots of cool stuff. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you very much.
What are you doing next Sunday?
I'll be here. I'll be back.
I'll be back. And we'll talk about Transformers. No. Next weekend isn't... Is it next weekend or the weekend after? That Terminator Salvation.
Terminator Salvation. Right.
We want to do that one? we'll see what comes up.
We got that and the Transformers. There's all kinds of stuff coming up.
Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, Tom, would you like the honors? The binary high five. 101?
01010.
He just gave us a 12. No, I'm just... Oh, great, Chuck. Now you invited somebody else to live in your basement.
Where all the Star Trek people go.